John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then look at verse 15. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus, in two verses, one right after the other, says, when you pray, pray in my name. And I didn't know how I don't want to be too ritualistic when we pray, but when we close our prayer and we say, in Jesus' name, amen, what does that mean? And so I took it and I looked at it and I started thinking about how many things we are told to do in the name of Jesus. We receive a child. Jesus said, whosoever receives one of these little ones in my name shall receive a reward. And we receive children in the name of Jesus. Whoever gives a prophet a cup of cold water in Matthew 10:42 gets a reward. We gather in His name for prayer, Matthew 18:20. God says in Acts 4:10, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we're saved at the name of Jesus. I know you know it's important, but think about this just for a second. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28:19-20. At the name of Jesus, the blind were made to see. The lame were made to walk again in His name. It is at the name of Jesus in Philippians 2:9-10, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that we know what the importance of His name is, according to the Scriptures, God says, when you pray, whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, God said He'll do it. I know that's not to be abusive. However, we sing songs about His name. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. If I started thinking about what is in a name, I said 2 weeks ago when I taught on the names of God, your name represents your character. When your name is mentioned, people think of what you stand for, your work ethic, the type of person you are. Jesus said, when you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what does that mean? I think that means, first of all, to pray with His authority. That means if I'm asking something with the authority that I know the Lord would act upon. You're in John. Go back about three books there to Matthew. Look at Matthew 18:18. There's a lot of authority in these verses here. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And then verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's talking about prayer. That's not talking about church. So Jesus said, when you pray in His name, you're praying with His authority. If you are pushing against sin, like when somebody is addicted to drugs, when somebody is an alcoholic, when somebody is in sin and you're praying against sin, you're asking God to work in their life and deliver them with the authority of Jesus. So at the end of the prayer, we would pray, Lord, please help them with their drug addiction. Lord, deliver them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're praying, Lord, with Your authority, please work in what I just requested. So when we pray in Jesus' name, amen, what are we praying? We're praying with His authority. I think number two, we're praying what Jesus would pray. That's why I really think when you yield to the Holy Spirit before you pray, Lord, help me to pray, and then you pray. than I believe when you're praying what Jesus would ask for. In other words, Jesus wouldn't pray for someone that ticked you off to die. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So Jesus would pray to bless them. You say, but they ticked me off. When I pray in Jesus' name, I'm praying what He would pray. Not, dear God, I hope they get in a wreck on the way home. Okay, that's a stupid prayer. That's a prayer that Jesus would not pray. So when you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying with His authority. You're praying in His place, or you're praying what He would pray. And then what else does it mean? It means you're praying, what we pray for is to be for God's glory. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So I'm real careful. I like what Joe Boyd used to say. He was when he got saved, he was smoking, and he was a big football player. And he said when he went to go light up a cigarette, his wife said, "I'll bet you can't ask the Lord to bless that cigarette before you smoke it." And he goes, "I sure can." She said, "You wouldn't dare ask God to bless that cigarette." He said, "I sure can." He bowed his head to pray, and he said he felt the Lord saying, "You ask me to bless that, and I'm going to knock your block off." When you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying with His authority. You're praying for something He would pray, and you're also praying for something that glorifies Him. All right, that glorifies Him, hence not blessing a cigarette. What does it mean when we say, in Jesus' name, amen? The prayer should fit, I believe, that criteria. That keeps us from praying foolish prayers. Now, I wanted to touch on that truth tonight, and now I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 17, and look at verse number 19. Ready? Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." But verse 21, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." So, here's a demon-possessed boy, and I believe there's demon possession today. It's just with drugs and everything else, you don't see it, but I do believe that demon possession. Jesus says here, everything is hinged on your faith. On your faith. But He did say, in this one particular case, there are some things that will not take place unless you fast. This kind cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting. And when somebody says, "Oh, I don't fast. I don't fast. I feel sorry for them. Because there are certain things that will not take place in your life unless you fast. There's certain things that won't take place in any Christian's life unless they fast. Fasting is not for super Christians. Fasting is not for extremists. Fasting is a tool that Jesus said there are certain spiritual things that will not take place unless you fast. It's very important. It's very important. If you want a chapter on fasting, now take your Bible. You're in Matthew. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 58. And Isaiah chapter 58. And if there was a chapter in the Bible where God helps the Jews and God teaches us on fasting, I would say it'd be Isaiah chapter 58. Watch this. We're going to look at about the first 9 verses here. I know they always say, you know, there's a couple of things you don't mention in church. One is, you know, politics. Another one is food.
You know what I mean? Don't talk about, you know, gluttony and all that other stuff, you know. But honestly, I think if anybody ever gets a hold of the Christian life, it takes, the Christian life is not boring. And honestly, without things where you take challenges, and I'm going to show you about the different things here, I feel sorry for some Christians as far as they don't take advantage of all that God's given us. Watch this, Isaiah chapter 58, and look at verse number 1. Cry aloud, and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Look at verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. That's their question. And thou seest not. In other words, they're saying, God, we're fasting, and you're not even noticing. Thou seest not. Watch this. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. What is fasting? God calls fasting a time where you afflict yourself. It's an affliction of the soul. Think about it this way. Prayer is when you shut your eyes and you talk to the Lord. You can pray without shutting your eyes, but prayer is when you take hold of the invisible. Fasting is when you let go of the visible, of what you see. And it's a way of forcing your body kind of to let go. It doesn't force God to do anything, but it is an affliction of the soul. It's when you afflict yourself and, okay, watch this, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, I'm at verse number 3, behold, in the day of your fast, now this is God's frustration with them, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. God says, that frustrates me. He says, when you say, we'll look at when Jesus said, when you fast, you're supposed to enter your closet. In other words, nobody's supposed to know that you're fasting, other than a husband and wife should know. I highly suggest that. You don't come home, honey, I fixed for, I'm fasting. That'll probably not go over real good, okay? A husband and wife need to know when they're fasting, but fasting doesn't need to be advertised to everybody else. God says here, you know what frustrates me about your fast? He said, you exact your labors. Oh, I can't do that. I don't have the energy for it. I'm fasting. God says, that's not the fast I've chosen. Don't exact your labors. All right, watch this. Look at verse number 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate. In other words, because you're not getting along with somebody. And to smite with the fist of wickedness. Because you're fighting with somebody, God says you're fasting over contention with other people. God says, that doesn't please me. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. God says, I'm not going to hear you later. I didn't hear you yesterday. He said, your fast, this is to the Jews, this is to Israel, your fast is messed up. I'm not going to hear you when you fast, when you go without food to talk to me. Look at verse number 5. Now God is going to teach us. Watch this. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? First of all, a day for a man to afflict his soul. It's self-affliction. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here we go. God says, here's my purpose for a fast. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. If I take the first thing, to loose the bands of wickedness. When you have a sin in your life that you're trying to get victory over and you can't, then my question is this, have you tried fasting? Because God says His fast breaks the bands of wickedness. It says it right there. It loosed the bands of wickedness. And people who say, I'm trying to give up smoking, I'm trying, but I just can't get I can't get the victory with it. Then my question is, have you fasted? Have you went without food for a day?
or 2 days or 3 days, and instead of eating, praying over it. God can loose the bands of wickedness. Or I have this problem with my thought life, or I have this problem with my anger, and I can't get a hold of it, or I have this problem. Have you ever tried fasting? This is a tool that is supposed to be in every Christian's toolbox. And when you come up to a wall in your life spiritually, I'm not growing. I feel like I'm stagnated. I feel like I'm in a rut. Then it's time to fast. Watch this. Look, it says here to loose the bands of wickedness. What's it say next? To undo the heavy burdens. If more Christians, I think, would use fasting. When a burden hits you and you're so bothered you can't sleep, did you know that's a natural fast? In other words, instead of suffering from the insomnia, if you feel like the burden, Pastor, I got this, I'm so brokenhearted over this thing, I can't sleep, I can't, then it's time for you to fast. It's time for you to fast. If you'll take that burden and use it right, I know a lot of Christians, when hard times hit, or this news hits them, or this happens, then they have a nervous breakdown. Take the burden to the Lord, give up some meals, and pray in its place. And God says, the fast that I choose, my idea of fasting, God says, is to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. When someone's struggling with an addiction, I'm all for counseling, and I think there's some steps, but I think fasting is one of the things that God uses to deliver. But we don't talk about it a whole lot. Because in America, we like to eat. Okay? There's nothing wrong with eating. I like to eat. But we really like to eat. You know, when the Iron Curtain broke down in 91 and they had there was a man and a wife, and he was like a captain of a ship, of a plane. When they landed in America and they finally got to come to America on the plane in the airport, you know what airports are like? There's food restaurants everywhere. When they got off the plane, they got off of the wing and then they started seeing all the restaurants. She stopped just like this and went, and she passed out. She'd never seen that much food. That was in restaurants. She just literally dropped. Afterwards, you know, they're like this, and she's going, where'd all the food come from? This is America. This is America. It's, you know, watch this. Look at verse number 7. God is still talking about His fast. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? What does fasting do? It looks to me like the affliction of the soul, you dealing your bread to the hungry. I heard one person say, if you'd learn to fast as a Christian, it forces God into a corner and makes God answer your prayers. And, okay, I was a young Christian at the time, but I thought, that doesn't sound right. God's not a genie that you grab the lamp and rub and then wish. You know what I mean? God's not a genie. God, answer my prayers. You're not going to answer my prayers? Fine, I'll fast. I'll go without food. What do you think about that? Fasting doesn't push God in a corner. When you read your Bible, you get more the impression fasting weakens your flesh so that you can perceive what's happening more with the spirit world. It afflicts your soul. Well, verse number 7 there, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? What's it do? It gets rid of yours and my selfishness. It helps me see things correctly. Look at verse number 7 here. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Watch this. And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. So before you fasted, you weren't really about having people over, you know. But after the fast, God says it's to bring it so that you can get softer and care more about spiritual things, and you'll have people, you know, to deal your bread to the hungry. Watch this. Verse number, poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Fasting is a way Fasting helps you perceive what God is doing in people's lives a lot more. Fasting is for you. Fasting isn't for God. God's always holy. God's always powerful. God always does right. I'm the one that my flesh gets in the way, then I can't see things straight, and I need to back off and weaken my flesh so that I can see what God's doing. Fasting is for me. It's not for God. When someone says this, "Well, I don't fast because I get a headache." Did you know everybody gets a headache when you fast? Did you know everybody gets a headache? Most people do. I've heard a lot of people say, "Oh, I tried fasting. I got a headache. Ooh, man, I ain't doing that again." Gave me a headache Tylenol couldn't take care of. Did you know when you stop putting things in your body and your digestive tract stops working with all the junk that we put in it, your body, for the first 3 days, goes, "Oh, you're not poking the pie hole? Well, now I can," what? Get rid of toxins. What's one of the first toxins your body has to get rid of? Salt. Your body doesn't know how to handle salt. First thing it does, what's salt do? It draws moisture, right? So the body says, protect it from the poison, so it sends fluids. The body, once you go about the first day without eating, your body's going, "Oh, wow. Wow, we can get rid of some trash around here." And then what? It starts through the elimination system, sweat glands. Sometimes the body odor goes up. Sometimes the halitosis gets bad. You say, why? Because the body's going, "You're not feeding me." That means first 3 days, your body starts to kick things out that are poisonous. On day 4, your body starts to heal itself and mend itself. You got to keep drinking water now. There's no such thing as water fast. Don't do that. You got to keep drinking water. But on day 4, your body starts healing itself. You say, "Are you sure?" Look at verse number 8. Watch this. Watch what God says will happen when you fast His way. Verse 8. "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning." You start seeing things spiritually. "And thy health shall spring forth speedily." Fasting does help your body. It is absolutely amazing how God made our bodies. And if you put the right things in your body can heal itself. That's God's making. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? You all are. God says your health goes up when you fast God's way. I don't think that... There are some people, they'll fast just for health. I think you should fast for spiritual reasons and let health be a secondary. But God does say He'll help your health. He'll help the health. Look at verse... Let's finish verse 8 here. "And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity." Isn't that amazing? God says, the way you put away the putting forth of... What's the putting forth of the finger? It's your fault, and your fault, and your fault, and look what you're doing. The putting forth of the finger. Okay? It's not me. God says, when you fast, it weakens you so that you see what you did wrong. It weakens your flesh so you can see what God's doing. I remember when we were... I was at a church in Tennessee, and a man's wife left him. He had 4 kids, broke his heart in a million pieces. They were all teenagers. I'll never forget it. He came to me, said, just bawling, and he said, "My wife left me, and I don't know what I, and we prayed, he said, "I'm going to start fasting." He went on a 40-day fast from that moment. He came the next day, and he said, "Would you anoint me with oil and pray, and I want my wife back, and I'm willing to..." He wasn't, "Dear God, answer my prayer." He knew about fasting. He knew the Bible. And he said, "I want to be in a place where God can bless me." And fasting, he used to weaken his flesh. Did you know he got his wife back? We didn't know what was happening. I remember an evangelist came to our church, and I had to take him to his dentist call that week. And he was known for teaching on prayer. And I said, we have a man in our church, and his wife left him. And I said, but he's been fasting every day. He's fasting for 40 days. And this is what the preacher told me as I was driving. He said, well, I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I know the Lord's going to do something. He didn't say, well, sounds like he's going to get his wife back. He just said, when you fast, God does something. You may not know what God's going to do, but God will do something. He did. He got it. The Lord used that, and the man did get his wife back. Watch this. Look at verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noondays. As we start looking at fasting, I wish every Christian knew, if you want to study fasting, I would start with Isaiah 58. God says, you fast the wrong way, and I'm not going to listen to you. If you want to do it my way, then the rest of the chapter says, look what happens when you go without food, and I'll show you the different fasts here in just a second. God says, these are the results. Now, with that, please know that fasting is a personal matter. God says that it's something that's supposed to take place privately, but it is supposed to take place. Let me say this too. There are certain things that... there are certain medical conditions that may hinder you from fasting. A diabetic has to really work at doing the right type of fast, or they can hurt themselves. If somebody's had their gallbladder removed, they have a hard time fasting. You understand? If you've had gallbladder surgery, that means you need to get creative with a fast and modify it. Okay? Or it can be painful. It can be painful. There are certain medical things, but there's ways around it. And I've watched Christians say, I've had my gallbladder taken out, but I still want to fast, and I'm going to do it this way. And I admire that. They just didn't, I don't fast because I had my gallbladder taken out. They looked for a way, and they asked their doctor and said, how can I do this and not eat and pray instead? And it was very helpful to them. When you go to... let me see here. Watching the time, kind of comment. What type of fasts are there? Let me see here. I'm trying not to. There's fastings all through the Bible. We're going to look at five of them in the next couple of weeks. But I would like you to go to. Let me see here. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Look at verse number 14. Look what Jesus told about fasting. Matthew chapter 9. And look at verse number 14. Ready? Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, he said to John's disciples, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and this little phrase right here, then shall they fast. Here's what Jesus was saying. They say, we fast, the Pharisees fast, how come you and your disciples don't fast? He said, well, they didn't see everything, okay. But Jesus said, the day's coming when I, the bridegroom, am going to be taken, then my disciples will fast. Does that sound like Jesus is teaching us to fast? Jesus is teaching us, while He's gone and in heaven, fasting is supposed to be a part of our Christianity. It's supposed to be a tool that we use. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, when ye fast, not if ye fast. He said, when you fast, Matthew chapter 6. And now, what type of fasts are there? Let's cover this real quick. Number one, there are, I have down here, I believe the Bible teaches about four different types of fasts. First of all is the common one. I think everybody knows about it. It's when you fast food. I don't mean eat fast food, McDonald's. Okay, I mean when you fast food and you go without eating. When you go without... Psalm 103, God says here, verse 2, 103, verse 2 and 5, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." God gave us food to eat, and it does make us feel better, physically, when we eat. Fasting for food is when you say, you know what, I'm going to miss lunch tomorrow, or I'm going to miss lunch and supper, or I'm not going to eat. Maybe, or maybe you need to do a 4-day fast, or a 3-day fast, or a 10-day fast. Whatever it is, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to afflict my soul, and I'm going to pray in place of eating. I'm going to pray in place of eating. And that's a food fast. You say, what other types of fasts are there? There's a sleep fast. Matter of fact, take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 12. Luke 6, verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. I could take you to a few other places, but I'll just use one of these. Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 12. It says here, "And it came to pass in those days that He," our Savior, "went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." When a burden gets so heavy and you can't sleep anyways, maybe the Lord's trying to get you to say, you need to fast. Well, I got to go to work the next day. You can't sleep anyways. So instead of letting the burden bother you and distress you, why don't you go without sleep? I like what one Christian said. "I would hate to live 70 years on this earth, be saved, go to an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, and never one time before I die stay up all night to pray." You know how many Christians have never done that? I mean, just where they prayed through the night. Jesus gave us the example. That's a type of fast. There's a food fast where you go without food. There's a sleep fast where you go without sleep. And obviously you would only do that one night. That's not something that would be ongoing. You say, "But I sleep better in church." Okay, I know you do. Watch this. There's two more types of fasts. Ready? I'll just read this to you. I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You go there for the fourth fast. But the third fast is just the fast of beauty. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus said, you're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll read you Matthew 6. "But thou, when thy prayest, enter into thy closet." So there are times God says, I want you to shut off the beauty of the world. Shut your eyes. Go where you can't see it. And God says, I want you to not enjoy that right now while you're praying. There's different types of that, but Jesus did say, when you pray, enter into your closet, and obviously that has a door. The fourth type of fast, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, you went to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 3. "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except," watch this, "except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or lack of self-control." So the other type of fast is we'll just call it the physical relationship in marriage. And God says there are times when God says in Exodus, I could give you another verse, we won't go there, but Exodus chapter 19, verse 14 and 15, God told Moses, He said, when you come up, He said, I want the people to sanctify themselves and have the men come not at their wives for 3 days. That was so that they could give themselves to prayer and fasting. With that fast, God says, be careful with it, because the physical relationship, if it's not handled correctly in a marriage, can be a way for Satan to get a stronghold. So be careful with that one. However, God plainly teaches the four different types of fasts. There's the food fast. I'm going to not eat, and I'm going to pray. There's the sleep fast. I think I need to stay up all night and pray, because this is a biggie. This is a big one. I think I need to fast from beauty. Go into thy closet and when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And then there's the physical relationship from marriage also with marriage that God says is a proper fast. Fasting is all through the Bible. I feel sorry for Christians that don't know about this tool that they can use not to force God into a corner, but to get themselves right and to weaken themselves so that they can perceive what God is trying to do so that they can then what? Pray more effectively. Pray more effectively.